We're going to share now in the Word of God. This comes from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. And you can find the words printed in your bulletin. The Apostle Paul writes, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love of God toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your hearts enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I mentioned last week when we read from the book of Revelation that one of the things that strikes me when you read Revelation, and really when you read a lot of different places in the Bible, is it enlarges your perspective. It's like what we talk about, the helicopter view. So we think that we're seeing clearly, but then we go to God's word and we get God's perspective on things. If you've ever gone up in an airplane or a helicopter, or if you're really crazy, a hang glider or something, or have you just seen a picture from a drone? Anybody ever seen that? And you look down on something that's familiar and you say, "Oh my goodness, that's what it looks like." Here where we are, things just look so different now. And we look around and we've got these strange masks on our face. We're trying to both be together, to be here for each other, but to be apart. We've got this, again, I just can't get over how beautiful this plastic curtain is here behind me. We've just got all of this going on, so much stress in our land and division. But today, I hope that what you can hear is that the Apostle Paul gives us a picture of Jesus' reign as Lord from up here. And that even though sometimes it looks dark, that it looks grim, that it looks uncertain, that from the perspective of eternity, from the perspective of God, God's in control. God reigns. God is at work, and God is bringing beauty throughout all of this. So Paul writes about the reign and the lordship of Jesus. He's writing to a church that he's not been to. You know, the Apostle Paul went around and started churches, lots of them, but he also wrote letters to churches that he'd never been to. This is one of those. Romans is another one. We think we know this because in chapter 1, verse 15, that starts this passage that we just read, he says to them, "I've heard of your faith and your love for the saints, your love for God and your love for the saints. I've heard of it. Hadn't seen it up close, but I've heard of it." And then he says something that's often overlooked. It's chapter 1, verse 17. You can look back at the passage if you want for yourself, but this is a statement that really gets overlooked. He says, "I pray for you. I pray that God, the God of Jesus Christ, might give you a spirit of wisdom as you continue to come to know him. As you continue to come to know him. Now, if you're reading quickly, like I did, and sometimes my wife likes to point out, man, you read that Bible passage just like rapid fire. If you read it quickly, you miss the importance of that statement. As you come to know him. Did you see what he did? The first statement was, I've heard of your faith. He pays them a great compliment. Your love for the saints. And then he says, indirectly, but you're still coming to know him. It's like in the first breath, he treats them as peers. I've heard of your faith and your love for the saints, fellow super Christians. And then he says, I pray for you. And it's like he's patting them on the head. As you continue to come to know him, aren't they cute? It's like in the beginning, he's like giving them a medal of honor. I have heard of your faith. Well done, good and faithful servants. And then it's the spiritual equivalent of what they used to do, an old pinch on the cheek like that. You're continuing to still get to know him. Maybe one of the good things about COVID is this is being done less and less by children, to children. You're not there yet. You're still in process. You're still growing. I think he's actually also talking to us. I think this is aimed right at us. I'm looking at a room of people who made some sacrifices to be here today. I talked to a group of people at 8:45 who got up early in the morning and came out at an inconvenient time as well. I'm talking to people at home who don't have to be tuning in to the internet right now, but they make it a point to do that, to worship with us. I'm looking out at us. Here we are. We're wearing our masks. We're sitting at a distance. We're going to all this trouble. It'd be easy for us to pat ourselves on the back and say, we really have. You know what? You're right. We're pretty good. We're pretty okay. Our church has remained strong. We've had our struggles, but we've remained strong throughout all this. And it'd be easy for us to just say, yeah, we're fine, we're good. And the Apostle Paul is pushing us here, and he's saying, you're not there yet. You're still in process. There's still more of the journey to be had. You're still called to grow. The calling of the Christian life is to grow. If you ever get to the point where you think, you know, I'm good, watch out. We are meant to grow deeper in love with Jesus. We're meant to go stronger in our faith, to know the Word of God more intimately, to trust in the fellowship of believers more. We're meant to grow. We're meant to grow. We are meant to grow. And I say that to the confirmation class, and I say that to their families. You're just getting started. You've reached a milestone, but this is like a new, this is not a finish line, this is a new starting line. You did the dash, now you're starting the marathon, okay? You did the short trip, now you're doing the cross-country trip. I remember the first day of fourth grade, a new kid came in to the class, but we didn't know that he was a kid. He looked like somebody's dad or another one of the teachers. He was almost 6 foot tall, 6 feet tall in the fourth grade. He was 10 years old and he was 6 feet tall. He walked in and he sat down and we said, what's that guy's dad doing sitting in the front? But it made sense when the teacher told us that it was another student, because I didn't know anybody's dad or any of the teachers who wore those jam shorts and a Bart Simpson t-shirt. Over the course of the next 2 years, this kid would grow. And by the time we got to sixth grade, at the beginning of sixth grade, he was 11, about to turn 12. He was 6 foot five. Did anybody know Matt Johnson, who goes to the church? He's a sixth grader, and he's taller than Matt Johnson. He's taller than Billy Costner, okay? He's 6'5 in the sixth grade. We moved after that, and I sort of lost track, but I found out later that by the 12th grade, he was nearly 7 feet tall. I remember watching him play basketball, and it was time for tip-off, and they just threw the ball up in the air, and he didn't even jump. He just like that. There was another kid who had grown a lot that summer and had gone to school that first day of fourth grade expecting to be the tallest kid in the class. I know him well. That was me. I had grown a lot. I was going to go and I was going to be the tallest kid in the class until Andre the Giant showed up. I was exceptionally tall for my age, but nobody paid attention to me. Nobody remembers who the second tallest kid in the class is when Shaquille O'Neal is in the third row, do they? But I'm not bitter, except that it was my year, and he took it from me. But I remember that over the course of that time, that as I grew between third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth grade especially, that it was also a painful time. I developed pain in my legs because I was growing so fast. I would limp some because I couldn't quite walk with the confidence. I was tripping over my own feet. My legs would wake me up at night aching. And we went to the doctor, and he gave us a very technical diagnosis of growing pains. And I remember talking about this with the giant kid in my class, and he was like, "Oh man, be quiet. I'll tell you about growing pains." But what strikes me about that is growth involves discomfort, doesn't it? Growth involves pain. Growth is not easy. And I think that the lesson for us here is that the Christian faith is meant to be a life of growth, and that means it will not always be easy. And I don't know where we got the idea that it was supposed to be. Somehow, accidentally, we've communicated to you that, this is easy. It's really simple. And what we've done is we've lowered the bar. What's the least that you have to believe? What's the least that you have to do? I remember hearing, I went to hear the theologian Marva Dawn speak, and she said so wonderfully, she said, you would think by looking at the church today that Jesus didn't say, "Take up your cross and follow me." You would think that Jesus said, "Take up your teddy bear and follow me." But the Christian life is one of growth, and growth is not always easy, and growth can even sometimes, yes, be difficult and painful. It's easy to say yes to Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. It's harder to live that yes each and every day. It is easy to say, "I want to go to heaven when I die." Who doesn't want that? "I want to go to heaven when I die." It is hard to live and let heaven live through you here on earth. It's easy to say Jesus is Lord. It is much harder to let go of being Lord of my own life. It is much harder to look at all the pretenders and the would-be lords and the false gods and the idols and say no to them. It's hard when Jesus calls you to go and do what you don't want to do. And if you don't know yet, he will. Often, if you listen. Say that phrase with me: Jesus is Lord. One more time: Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. The statement is not "Jesus is my advisor." It is not "Jesus is my personal assistant." It is not "Jesus is my backup plan." Jesus is Lord. You are still coming to know him. You're still on the journey. You're still in progress. You're still in process. Paul says he's been raised from the dead. He's been exalted into heaven. He's above every name, every ruler, every power. And then he says, not just in this age, but in the age to come. He's Lord of it all, the past, the present, the future. This wasn't supposed to be in the sermon this morning, but This happens sometimes. Did anybody see the sunrise this morning? Amen. Yeah. Those of you who didn't, go back in time and find a way to see it. The sunrise this morning, I stepped out my front door to go for a walk, and I saw that sunrise, and I just stopped, and I just stared. And I thought, I could spend the rest of my life trying to describe the glory of that scene, and I would never run out of words. And God does that every day. And that's just how it is with the life of discipleship. You will not figure it all out. You will not get to the bottom of it all. You will not exhaust the mystery of who God is in Jesus Christ. You'll go deeper and deeper and deeper and further and further. Paul uses words like infinite, immeasurable, matchless. It'll take you all your life. It reminds me of that great song that Fred Craddock used to like to quote. He said, listen to these words. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the sky of parchment, this paper, made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could that scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I love that. We're always going deeper. We're always going further. We're always going more into the wonderful, wonderful mystery of God with us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us pray. Help us, O God. Help us not to become content. Help us to press on with your help. We thank you that you call us to grow closer and closer to you. And may we find joy in the journey. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.